In this election, we each face a question. What kind of country do we want to live in? We choose freedom. The freedom not just to get by, but get ahead. The freedom to make decisions about your own body. We believe in the promise of America, and we're ready to fight for it. Because when we fight, we win.
I'ma keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Paid for by Harris for President.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Making the news this morning through the good offices of Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin MEP for Dublin, Fiona Looney, columnist with the Irish Daily Mail, and Paul Hosford, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner. And before we get their views on things, where we start is with Ticketmaster and the anger that still seems to be out there over the handling of the sale of the Oasis tickets yesterday morning. A lot of people aggrieved that they waited and waited and waited only to be flung out of the system at the last possible minute. People aggrieved that tickets that they thought were going to cost them 80 quid ended up costing them 400 quid for the privilege of standing in the middle of the pitch in Croke Park. And people aggrieved that there were hundreds of thousands in the queue ahead of them for the gigs. I'm joined by Tommy Higgins, who is former executive vice president of Ticketmaster's European operation. Tommy, good morning.
Good morning, Anton.
Tommy, can we move first of all to the issue of pricing and all this? Because you have been on the inside of this and you know how it works. How do we end up in a situation where tickets get advertised at 85 quid and when you try to buy them, they're 450?
Who's forcing anybody to pay 400 euros for a ticket? The people that have caused this maelstrom are the Oasis fans. Now, there's always been a secondary market out there, but the money never went to the stakeholders. The money went to ticket touts. At present, the money is going to the rightful stakeholders, which is the promoter and the artist. There's no other industry in the world would manufacture a product and allow the profits of it to go to a competitor.
But the issue is the nature of how those products are advertised. If you put up a thing that says this is going to cost you 85 quid to get in the queue, and when you reach the end of the queue, you get told, well, actually, do you remember that 85 quid? It's now 450 and it's binary choice. Take it or don't.
It happens all the time in the hotel industry. It happens all the time in the airline industry. You can buy, Michael O'Leary is talking about maybe €1,000 tickets for at Christmas time. You can buy the same ticket for maybe 50 euros today for the same airline, same flight. Matt, what caused all this was something like I'm out of the business now, but I take a keen interest in it. There was a demand in Ireland for maybe 700,000 tickets. There was only 160,000 tickets available. And between the UK and Ireland, there was a demand for 14 million tickets, and there's 1.2 million tickets available. So people have lost their minds. And I can understand it's all to do with disappointment. And so once you get disappointment, then people don't want to accept disappointment. They turn to Twitter, which was not there 10 years ago, and they vent their anger, which I think is understandable.
But hang on for a minute. The comparison with airlines breaks down slightly in that a ticket that may cost you 50 quid tomorrow might cost you 1,000 quid at Christmas. The difference is if you begin the process of purchasing that ticket at an advertised face value of 50 quid, you will get it at 50 quid. It won't turn from 50 to 1,000 during the purchase process.
Yeah, but Matt, once you have a situation where you have hundreds of thousands of people, it's a moving spectacle at that stage. I can't understand why people lose their minds over it. It's supply and demand. And there's far, far too much demand for the amount of tickets that were on sale.
Well,
that was to the market. But if you don't, there's nobody has to pay that money. And if people don't pay that, the ticket price will go back down.
Fiona Looney is one of those people who is driving that demand. Fiona, you want to come in?
I do, and I'm actually seething now listening to Tommy Higgins. I think the reason that so many people, including myself, are disappointed today is it wasn't fair. I went in online at about 6:30 in the morning. I waited. I joined the waiting room. I think my downfall was that my Wi-Fi is perhaps not as fast as other people's Wi-Fi. I found myself at about 300,000 in the queue. I stayed in the queue. I did everything Ticketmaster said. I didn't have a VPN. I didn't go on multiple devices. Followed all the rules. After 7 hours of watching this ticker coming down.
Literally seven hours.
I mean, I now know where Noel Gallagher got the idea for Wonderwall. It's from sitting watching a wall while on Ticketmaster, wondering when you're going to get down. I got down to number 437 at about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and then it kicked me out and said, we think you're a bot. I've just checked now before we came in. My account, my Ticketmaster account, is still suspended this morning. I did everything Ticketmaster asked. I heard this morning of people who went online at 10 past eight and had 4 tickets at 8:30. The system was unfair. It was unfair to raise the prices once you were in the system. It was unfair to throw real human beings out. I mean, I am the least bot human alive. I can barely log into the internet. And I think that's what people are really annoyed about, is that it was unfair. You know, the old system of, you know, go and, you know, bring your camping stool and sit outside,
Grafton Street.
Sit on Grafton Street overnight. At least people who did that got them in the order.
Well, let me go back to you then on that, Tommy, because that's a thing that drove people absolutely bananas.
I totally disagree with that. And I tell you why. It was a very, very unfair system. The last time, say, Oasis were here and were doing, say, 30 years ago, people, yes, camped out, but in thousands upon tens of thousands of people didn't get their tickets. And people around the country in North Donegal or South Kerry were disenfranchised. They had to travel maybe 40, 50 miles to get to a shop, and they still didn't get the tickets. And I remember the times when people would camp out for days and days and days. I was around at that time. There is no solution. There is absolutely zero solution where you have hundreds of thousands or millions of people when you put the combined UK and Ireland, and there's only a limited amount of tickets.
And but hang on for a minute, Tommy. If you're just joining us, Tommy Higgins is with us. He's former executive vice president of Ticketmaster's European operation. Tommy, if people get in the queue, and I think this was an experience that Fiona is not alone in having had, where the system says you're 100,000, you're 40,000, you're 1,000, you're 400, you're 3, you're 2, you're 1, you're thrown out. What about that? Surely the basic capacity for the system to allow people to queue online is not beyond the ability of an organisation like Ticketmaster.
I don't think there's a ticketing system in the world that can handle that sort of volume. When everybody presses a button at 9 o'clock, they have to create something. Now, as I said, I'm out of that business for a while. The actual technical thing, I don't understand fully, but I would understand that the right way to go about this, that the stakeholders have to get paid for what is the fair value, not saying the fair value, what everybody wants to pay for the ticket. Nobody has to pay €400 for a ticket. I think they're stupid to pay €400 for a ticket. So it's the fans who are demanding, are driving
this. Tommy, you can't blame this on the Oasis fans. And you're returning to your original claim that this was caused by Oasis fans. This was caused by Ticketmaster, pure and simple. And people are really, really upset about that. But accept that and don't turn it back on the innocent people who queued all day yesterday.
Fiona, I'm not defending Ticketmaster. I'm out of the game. I have nothing to I've nothing involved with them anymore. But I'm just seeing what's happening outside, and I see that's the way. For what we should be doing is celebrating the outstanding success of the live entertainment industry here in Ireland. If you go back, and there's only a handful of these events that cause this sort of grief and angst and disappointment. There's something like 10,000 events go on sale every year for shows in Ireland. And maybe 10, 20 cause all this. We had Taylor Swift, we had Coldplay, Bruce Springsteen. But it's an unbelievably successful business. And that's what we should be celebrating. Yes, there's disappointment. Yes, there's problems. But it's overall, more people have access to tickets today than they ever had in Ireland.
Tommy, tell us about how does the money in all of this work? Because the thing that people got concerned about as well was the fees, that there is a face value for the ticket and that there is then some kind of processing fee that you would have thought would be implicit in the purchase of it. Where does all the money go? Who gets the cash?
The Ticketmaster are any ticketing company, forget about Ticketmaster, any ticketing company, they're only a collection agency. The money goes to the promoter. They hire the venue, and they deal then with the artist.
So if I'm an artist, I go to Ticketmaster, and if I want dynamic pricing, I say, lads, put in the dynamic pricing.
Absolutely. Ticketmaster cannot change 1 cent on a ticket without being instructed to by the artist or the promoter.
And that's why we're talking about Ticketmaster, we're talking about Croke Park. People are talking about the GAA. Nobody is talking about Oasis. Oasis could make less money. Taylor Swift could make less money. Bruce Springsteen could make less money. They're already very, very rich. They could say, look, €150 for a standing ticket, that's about as high as we go. You don't need the dynamic pricing. You don't need to charge people €450 for our first gig in 15 years. You know, Oasis could easily do that. Nobody's talking about Oasis. We're blaming Oasis fans for paying it.
But you know what would happen then? What used to happen before, they went then to websites and all the money went to different people instead of going to the artist or the promoter.
But that's illegal now. That's the point. It's illegal for people to hike up the price of tickets, secondhand sellers. That has been banned. And this is the problem, that the government have refused to ban dynamic pricing, because it could be banned. I mean, Louise O'Reilly raised it in February of this year, and the minister was saying there's no plans to ban this sort of dynamic pricing. And it's just pure greed.
It's absolutely
pure greed, because when the ticket price is given, everybody's getting a cut. So the promoter's getting a cut, the artists are getting a cut, the venue hosts are getting a cut. All of that's factored into the price that's advertised. It is deeply unfair then for people to go in, spend 7 hours waiting. And this is basically, they're using the same tactics that the gaming industry uses. You're in there 7 hours, you get to the point at which you're in the buying stage. And at that point then, it's an impulsive buy, because you said, right, well, it was €100. I've now 7 hours in, €400.
The fantasy of some cost, hours.
It needs to be banned. It's playing on people's emotions, and it's using the tactics that the gambling industry uses. And the government could end this tomorrow by banning dynamic
pricing. That's Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin MEP. Tommy, you wanted to come back in. Tommy Higgins, former exec VP with Ticketmaster.
Hold on a second. If you're selling your house and you put a price in the house, are you going to turn down? You own the house. Are you going to turn down if somebody pays more money for the house?
I think the problem that
that's
we have
dynamic
here.
Pricing.
Well, if you bid for a house and the owner of the house accepts the bid, then you're paying this. You're not going to then turn around when you've paid the 300,000, if you were lucky to get a house for 300,000 these days, and then the owner go, well, actually, do you know what? There's other people are interested, so we're going to add you another 50,000. There's a deal here. You've gone into a system where you've been told the price, and then they're hiking it up after having you waiting hours. They're playing on your emotions. They're using the tactics of the gambling industry, and it needs to be banned.
But there's also an issue that we're looking at art and our artistic expression and artistic performance as units of supply and demand. The fact that we've boiled it all down to, you know, how much are people willing to pay. This is a band that means a lot to people. These are bands that mean a lot to people. Of course they're emotionally invested. Of course when you get to the end of that purchase funnel and somebody says, do you want to pay €450? Of course you're going to think
now, there's an awful lot in play now. Who's to blame in terms of whether it be the promoter, whether it be Oasis being greedy and all the rest of it. Let's come back slightly to the Ticketmaster issue with one question, Tommy, which is somebody saying, I joined the queue at 8 o'clock. I was 10,768 on the list. In other words, a shoo-in. You should be getting tickets. Therefore, I believed I was guaranteed a ticket based on numbers alone. Yet, when I got through, tickets were unavailable. How does that happen? And that's a question that a lot of people have. How is it that Ticketmaster can't just do the process according to their own numbers?
To be honest with you, I really don't know how that thing works. But it's no different than what it was 20 years ago, but people are all out on the street. And there was thousands upon tens of thousands of people weren't able to get tickets. It's now just a virtual queue that's in play at present.
At least the physical queue felt fair. I think that's the issue. People are logging on. They don't know how this works. And I'm not sure.
Well, nobody came up to you in Grafton Street and dragged you out of the queue and put you to the back.
No. Exactly. Told you couldn't buy tickets.
Said you're a boss.
But some people didn't even get into the queue in Grafton Street. But that's a separate... But I keep coming back. There is no solution for this when you have so many millions of people, if you take the combined UK and Ireland, and all the systems have the same problems. The same conversation is probably taking place in Manchester and Newcastle and Cardiff, wherever they're playing. It's an impossible situation where everybody hits a button at 9 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock, whatever time it is. And you went to a virtual, I don't know, never-ending pit where there's so many people trying to log on to, on looking for tickets. It's an impossible.
There's a huge reaction. Tommy, we will let you go. Appreciate your time. That is Tommy Higgins, who is former Executive Vice President of Ticketmaster's European Operations. A text saying, when Led Zeppelin had their reunion gigs in 2007, you had to register for a worldwide raffle for the option of buying a ticket at face value. In France, if you advertise a house for 300k and somebody offers you 300k, then that's it. You cannot increase the price. You have to sell at what you offered. People are upset about the unfairness. I don't get tickets, but I don't mind. It's the extortionate process that is disgraceful. With his rationale, concerts are for the wealthy only. Mm-hmm. Fiona raises an interesting issue. In order to have a Ticketmaster account, you have to prove you're not a bot when you set it up. So therefore, Ticketmaster shouldn't have booted her out. Plus, she'd have a purchase history.
Yeah, and I go to a lot of concerts. I have a really long purchase history. And as do, I think, most of the people who got thrown out of, I mean, all my family got booted out of the queue at the last minute. I know so many people that that happened to. So it just, you know, it really, the system was under extreme stress yesterday and it did not come out of it well.
Yeah, but that's the bit I don't understand of this, is surely if your thing is selling multiple tickets around the world under huge demand. If you're a Ticketmaster, you're Taylor Swift, this is your day in, day out. It's just another Tuesday. You have to be able to build a system to deliver it.
Yeah. But you don't, because Ticketmaster is owned by Live Nation. MCD is owned by Live Nation. Around the world, they own many venues. So they own the process entirely. Mm-hmm. What we would have called a monopoly 20 years ago is now called vertical integration. It's one company. They control the entire process. If they're bad, what are you going to do? You're not going to go anywhere else. Everyone, you know, you can't get a ticket. You can barely get a ticket to a gig in, you know, the Soundhouse on the Keys, which holds about 100 people without interacting with Ticketmaster at times, you know.
Well, like, there's a text supporting you in that, Paul, says the other problem with airline comparison is there are multiple airlines to choose from and therefore there is competition. There is pretty much only one game in town, which of course is Ticketmaster. Another, all this hullabaloo over a bloody gig. People need a sense of perspective. The world's in a mess and we're getting angry about this. Worlds fail, or words fail. Support local artists, go to local gigs.
Yeah, but gigs are supposed to be the distraction. They're supposed to be the nice thing that we look away from all of the horrors of the world and say, right, well, at least I've got Oasis coming. But you can't, because you're a bot and you got kicked out at the
top
of the
queue. To find the positive, at least Noel can pay for the divorce after all this. We can breathe
a
sigh of
relief. At least it's a winner.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.